Okay, Jeremiah. So first, I'd like to start with asking you, like, how are you feeling today?
Feeling normal. So
you smile when you said that. Why, what made you smile?
Because when people ask me that, you know, I think of most people that I know, I'm gonna say.
Okay.
I think of, you know, everybody that I've seen, and when I ask them that, and the first thing they, you know, they give these different answers. So me, when I learned who I was and who I am, and learning to do the opposite of what I've been doing, I learned to have a specific answer every time.
Okay, so you feel like every question, like every time somebody asks you how you doing today, you have to have like the same answer?
It's not that, because it's basically like, you know, I'm trying to see how I'm gonna say it. It's like, you know, doing normal. You know what I mean by that? You know, I woke up, I went to sleep, I woke up again.
Okay.
And that's the main thing of life. Okay. You don't know if you're not going to wake up tomorrow.
Okay.
So, with me waking up, I'm doing normal, but I have a goal of learning.
Okay. Do you feel like you waking up, that's means for you to have a good day anyway? Because you're thankful that you're alive?
Yes. In a way, yes. It's kind of a... It's a cursing and a blessing at the same time.
Okay.
So, like, what I mean by that is, like, you know, you take things for granted sometimes. You know, you wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, and then most people go back to sleep. You know, and me, I naturally, at the most, need 4 hours of sleep.
Okay. So, you feel like once you're up, you're ready to get your day started.
Ready to get learning.
Okay, so you want your day to be productive. Is that what I'm understanding? Like, yeah. In some kind of way?
It give every day a purpose instead of me having a... Like, that's my short-term goal.
Okay.
So, for my short-term goal, when I wake up and if I'm going to be serious about completely changing, I have to be serious and committed to myself.
Okay, so tell me something that you're working on right now. Like... What, I'm sorry, tell me one way you are committed to yourself right now. Like, what is one thing that you do to show commitment to yourself?
I'm working on making this timeline different from the last timeline.
Okay, so what did the last timeline look like?
Last timeline looked at, like, a similarity. And basically, it's a happening again. Like, honestly speaking, I tell people I live 4 lives in this timeline already. Meaning,
okay.
I'm on my 4th one. In the past, you know, basically been the opposite of what I am now. Now I'm kind of walking in my shadows, you know.
Okay, so, do you feel like, okay, you've experienced something already? And you had an outcome. Okay, you're experiencing it again, but you're going to experience it in a different way so you can have a different outcome? Is that what you're trying to say?
Basically, when I was younger, I had a lot of abilities and I had a lot of power.
Okay.
To a point where I didn't know my power.
What were those powers?
Everything from the unknown that people can't figure out. Deja vu moments, sleep paralysis, dreams.
Okay.
You know, 3 main things, you know, dealing
okay.
with. It's like when I was younger, I was more and had a feminine power.
Okay.
Than a masculine power.
Okay.
But because of my bloodline and my family, my masculine power was more of a savage thing.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
Like, aggressive.
Okay. And so when you were younger, do you feel you weren't as savage?
I was, you know, it was natural, you know, being young, you know, especially not knowing, growing up, you know, not knowing that, okay, I didn't already have 3 lives and I'm already on my 4th one. It was kind of like, people who don't understand that Dragon Ball Z points to something specific.
Okay.
All I could say is Goku, Vegeta, and Broly is my trinity, like who I represent.
Okay.
My energy.
So are you into anime?
Yes, I am, but I'm not into all of them.
But you can relate to that a little bit?
Specifically Dragon Ball Z, I hated Dragon Ball Z at first. I was forced to watch Dragon Ball Z. My stepdad, he loved Dragon Ball Z. He would watch it and stuff, and I was just like, man, this is some childish bull crap. You know, not understanding what it was.
But when you got an understanding of it, it made sense to you?
It was funny because it was in school in Michigan, Flint, Michigan. I'd say fourth or fifth grade, because I was in elementary still. But when we have lunchtime, basically my teacher, she would let everybody pick a show that they want to watch or, you know, something like that.
Okay.
So we watched one episode. One of my old best friends named Kendrick, he picks Dragon Ball Z. And I'm kind of like, man, I'm already knowing what it is. I don't like it. You know, it was just like, man, you know, I couldn't get out of the situation. So So it was just like, you know, I had to sit there next to him and watch it. We seen that at our group. And, you know, I'm just watching it. And then the whole purpose of it, like the first episode, made me get into it. So it went from not liking it to really having to watch it and then getting into it. It's like basically when you listen to music and you've been listening to rap and you only listen to rap, but you really like it because the beat sound good, but you don't know that would make the words and stuff catchy. And then when you hear a song that don't have as good as a beat, the words become, it kind of just puts the song to the side. So basically, that's what it was for Dragon Ball Z for me. And the first episode was Goku, he's normal person, but you know, this is like I'm trying to see how to say it. Because they had Kid Goku, they made a show Kid Goku, then they had the reality version. Like instead of an Old Testament, New Testament, they had him when he was a kid.
Okay.
Then they had him when he was fully, like, grown and stuff like that. So when he was a kid, teenager, you know, he had a separate show for that. But that tells you how he got his grandfather, his human grandfather, Gohan. But then the show comes about. But all that, what I seen from my own eyes, was Goku had a kid, had a wife and stuff like that, everything, you know, like a normal human. But his brother comes, and they, you know, their race got destroyed. It's basically a story of a disoriented, how do you say it, organized family?
Dysfunctional, maybe?
A family that got separated. That whole race basically got destroyed, right? So basically that whole race got destroyed, but the story goes, Bardock, you know, he has an intuition. He's the ultimate fighter of that race. So he's the ultimate, you know, he's the savage, he's the intuition, he's the thinker of that race. So the king goes to him for the main missions, but the king is really only, he's not really king. It's really a whole nother race controlling the king race.
Okay.
But he's kind of symbolized as the controller and the ones that does the missions for the race of the Saiyans, right?
But this person is not the king.
He's not the king.
Okay.
The king was only a word.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Tell me about your childhood, because when you started talking about it,
you like said... Like how it relates to Dragon Ball Z, kind
of? Yeah. So that's why I kind of want to know, like,
okay,
about your childhood.
Okay. Basically, in a form, this is where it's funny, because when I was younger, right? Now, when I was younger, you know, I had all this power and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was kind of a natural thing, but it made me question myself. But me noticing this, I kept my mouth shut. And it was, I was at a young age because my grandfather and stuff like that, you know, the story of me being a baby, I was already kind of different. No.
Let me ask you, how, who did you grow up like around? Your mom, your dad, your grandfather, your grandma,
okay,
siblings?
So basically, I grew up around mother.
Okay.
Person I thought was my father,
mm-hmm,
was my stepdad. He became my stepdad, but I thought he was my real father when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But he was really my cousin.
So, your stepdad is your cousin. Okay. How did you find that out?
I found this out late 2024. Basically, you know, I remember one time they got in an argument and he said, we supposedly cousins anyway.
Who is they? Your mom and the stepdad?
Yeah. Okay. So they got in an argument, you know, by then a lot of my siblings born and stuff like this. So, I'm thinking they just siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it's crazy because he said that, but he was really exposing my mom.
Okay.
And
when you heard that they're supposed to be cousins, how did that make you feel?
Well, what I said was, I was like, well, your last name is Quinny, and my mom's last name is Clark. So y'all not related. But, see, this is the story how my stuff is so messed up. Because my mom originally got my father, my real father.
Mm-hmm.
But he's into the same gender. So she got mad and stuff at him. And basically, he made it even worse. So, not only that, he didn't tell her that, according to him, he said he told her, but she didn't listen.
Did he tell you that?
This is what he tells me, but he didn't do it in a way where, because according to my mom, she's saying, you know, well, she says, like, she didn't know.
Okay.
So, basically, they had a kid, right? And that was me. Now, only thing about it is, I didn't get my dad's last name. Because okay. My mom got mad at my dad, not only for just being into the same gender and making a baby with her, but at the same time, he didn't show up the first day I was born.
Okay.
So basically what ended up happening was my mom, when they asked my mom who's the father, she said he don't have one.
Okay.
So I don't have a father on my birth certificate.
Okay.
But I know who my father is. It's, you know, it's Jermaine Carlisle. So I was supposed to be Jeremiah Carlisle. But I end up getting my mom's last name.
Okay.
So Jeremiah Clark. Jeremiah Nicholas Clark.
Okay. So is your parents still in Flint, Michigan, or are they here?
Oh no, my dad he moved out of Flint when I was young. You know, it's so messed up for me because my parents separated way before I was even born.
Okay, so you never even had a chance to have a two-parent household
at all.
Okay,
so
do you think that affected you in the way you grew up?
No, because everything, when I came out and I was here, everything seemed normal to me. You know, I was My mom had a boyfriend.
You have family here?
No. Yeah. But it's not biological family. My dad, I...
How did you get to Houston? How long have you been in Houston?
I've been in Houston. I've been backwards and forth. My first time coming to Houston, this is where I go to the beginning of the story. Because everything okay. is important. Because... So my dad, you know, I didn't get his last name. So right. I didn't know about that side of my family.
Right.
Until way later on. So it caused, when my birth caused an internal war between Clarks, Quinnies, and Carlisle. Mm. To a point where, since I had the last name Clark, mm-hmm. Clarks had a good, like, look.
No, okay, so their family had a good reputation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And basically...
And that's your mom's side of the family.
That's my mom's side.
Okay.
So, the first war was basically between my mom and my father's side.
Okay.
Because my father's side, they like, we want to be in the kid's life. So, she was letting them, you know, take me and stuff like that. But, you know, my dad being, you know, not there.
What do you mean by not there?
Not knowing what to do to a child and what not to do.
Okay, he didn't properly know how to take care of a child.
Not at all. Okay. And my mom had visitation rights. Mm-hmm. But I didn't remember this because I was so young. Mm-hmm. So I had to get the story. So basically, they would talk about everything, and well, you know, you got a general perspective of a kid, then you got my mom saying like an intuition perspective. Mm-hmm. So basically, it got to a point where my father gave up.
Okay.
So he would be able to see me on the weekend, but he gave up.
Eventually, he stopped.
Yeah, but one of the reasons was because I had Jerry curl hair, like naturally. Mm-hmm. I got my baby picture right here. I think I showed you. Right? Mm-hmm. So I had Jerry curls. And one thing my dad did was he put dye in my hair.
Okay. I think you told me that. Okay.
So when he put dye in my hair, it killed my curls. Now my grandfather, he didn't play no games. And, you know, I know who he was and what he was. Basically... He was mad about that himself. But my dad already knew. Basically, it probably caused like a fear.
Okay.
Where my dad, you know, gave up and stopped even doing visitation rights.
Okay.
So, basically, my dad ended up moving out of state. He moved mm-hmm. to Ohio.
Okay.
That was the first place he moved. Now, by then, I'm getting older a little bit. I'm still young. I was probably three by the time some stuff happened. Because he moved to Ohio, then he moved to Arizona. I remember him being in Arizona. But before that even happened, you know, of him coming here, mm-hmm. I came across this coin in my granddad's yard. And it was a 50 cent coin, right? And me, I would always be into looking at coins and stuff like that.
Okay.
Paying attention to them, trying to, you know, seeing the differences and stuff like that. So, originally, I would be paying attention specifically to the dimes. Because mm-hmm. it had, like, Queen Elizabeth, like, queens and females on the back instead of just wheat. So... I had came across a 50 cent coin in his yard, and when I flipped it, it was, both sides was his. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, it was my first time ever seeing the 50 cent coin, and it's this big coin, and I'm literally only probably 4, 5, or 6 mm-hmm. at the time. And I was thinking in my head, I was like, you know, it's a kind of like a not an illusion, but you're thinking it's illusion, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, this can't be real. Like, you're just looking at it. And then I basically like, okay, this is, like, I took it for what it was, and I put it back. But I learned that's how Houston had to call into my name. Because then years later, my dad moved straight to Houston, Texas.
From Ohio.
From Arizona.
From Arizona, okay. So Ohio, then Arizona, and then...
Not Grand Rapids. The Grand Canyon.
Okay. He started off in Michigan. Uh-huh. And then he went to Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Then to Arizona.
Then
in Houston.
The Grand Canyon.
Oh, okay.
He worked at a hotel at the Grand Canyon. They let him stay there. And then he moved to Houston. But the only reason why he got to Houston is because somebody he knew from the past had moved to Houston, one of his old childhood friends.
Okay.
Something like that. They got reconnected, or it was something like that, but they wanted to go to Dallas, Texas originally.
Okay.
But the friend was in Houston, Texas. The friend told my dad, you know, you can come down here and stay with me, and you know, to get on your feet.
Uh-huh.
Since you really want to come down here. And he did that. And that's how everything started. So then when I turned 13, because all my life I'm staying in Flint.
With your mom, with your grandpa.
Grandfather. Everybody.
Okay.
Grand.
The Clarks.
Yeah, the Clarks.
Okay.
I'm also there with the Averys too. That's really on my grandma's side.
Okay.
Carlisle's too. I never really got to meet my dad's side, like the Carlisle family at all.
But you came down here to connect with your dad.
Yeah. When I was 13. No. Yeah, I was like 13. I had came down here for a summer vacation.
Okay.
When I came down here, I didn't want to leave. But, you know, I had to leave, and I had to take it like a man. Mm-hmm. And, I had to know that, to me, it was like I'm going back to hell. So
you having to leave, you coming to Houston, how did that make you feel?
It was very, probably, for me, it was damn near like an experience of heaven and hell at the time, because my mom, she always say the green grass ain't gonna be green on the other side, but you know, my dad, he's buying me every game system, this and that. You know, he buying me phones, you know, he giving me electronics. And it was just a crazy thing, because you know, to me, I'm like, shoot, my dad, he really cared for me. You know, he trying to show me that he loves me and this and that.
So you felt joy down here with your dad?
Yeah, when I came down here, you know, it was basically like, you know, it's like, you know, I came down here, and of course, with it only being a summer vacation, we had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't enough time to really get to know who he was and why,
uh-huh,
why everything happened the way it did when I was, uh-huh, younger. So, basically, it was one time where he came, and it was to get full custody or something of me, like, and I was older at the time, so I don't know, I had like this weird uncomfortable feeling. So when it was time to talk to the judge, and it was like me separate, like me leaving my mom and my siblings and stuff like that, for some reason I felt uncomfortable about it. And
do you think that maybe you felt guilty for leaving them?
I feel like I would feel guilty for leaving them, and on top of that, you know, it just felt uncomfortable leaving a place where
you've been for so long.
Yeah.
Where you grew up. Because I hear you say, you know, you come down here for vacation, it's like the time of your life. Then you go back home, it's back to the basics.
Yeah.
When you compare like to heaven and hell. And so, but then when you get the opportunity to come and be with your dad, you don't want to abandon your family.
Yeah.
Okay.
Taking me. And it was because I wasn't used to change, and I thought my family was like real innocent and good. Like, that's just the outlook I had on them, you know. But then when things started happening along the road, it was just like, it just kind of like started shaking my head to a point where I didn't have to do nothing, because basically, what was the second time? I came down here again for another summer vacation. It was at a point to where this time, you know, I'm down there. Since I'm with my dad, now I'm working with my dad. Now my dad, he's like, okay, we're going to talk to CPS, this and that. And, you know, you're going to have to tell them what your mom do to you and stuff like that, and don't lie about it. And
what were some of those things?
Basically, staying in a not so good environment, like, you know, moldy house and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Everything in that type of scenario. So
okay, so is that why you being down here with your dad, you didn't have to deal with any of that?
Yeah, I didn't have okay. to deal with house odors and stuff like that. I had
clean the living clothes. Conditions were a little bit better with your dad.
Yeah, you know, on a normal, it was more of a normal thing versus what I knew from what okay. was normal, but what I knew wasn't.
What you thought was normal. Okay, so you thought that the living conditions that you were with your mom, you thought that that was normal because that's all you knew
until
you
started visiting your dad. No, I knew it wasn't because it was causing me to get bullied in school.
Okay.
And, you know, I didn't have control over that.
Okay.
So, you know, I would wash my clothes and then, you know, I go to school, people laughing at me because I smell like mildew. I can't get a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
My, you know, my mom's car is rusty and all this and that. So it was just like,
how did that make you feel when you used to get bullied for those things that you couldn't control?
At first, you know, I had, you know, I battled myself on what I should do, because the bullies, I didn't fight them. But when I started getting in that combative mode was when I had old friends. And basically, I had friends that was the same as me. You know, if I'm smelling like mildew, my friend got a pee odor for some reason.
Okay.
But what happened was, like, one of my first friends, you know, he kind of, we got into it because of a female.
Okay.
But it wasn't me trying to impress a female or nothing like that. It was him trying to impress a female, so he wanted to use me as his way to impress her.
Okay. So almost like he started trying to bully you to impress a woman.
Yeah. Okay. And I wasn't going for that, and I got angry about that. And he wanted to keep going, so me.
Were you embarrassed by that? Sounds like you were embarrassed.
It wasn't a thing of embarrassment. It just you know, kind of like returning energy naturally. And a little bit of embarrassment at the time too, but because it just, like, you know, now it's like a everybody in class listening type situation.
Okay.
So now it's like, you know, we going head to head, and you know, basically, like, a fight just naturally started.
Mm-hmm.
And I had another friend like that. Basically, it's to a point where he wanted to impress a female, and he had like. What they call it? Like when you get a gum disease and it causes you to have like bad breath.
Halitosis.
He had that, and he had like an odor and stuff like that, and he didn't have a haircut, but he was the same as me.
Mm-hmm.
And we was real cool. Me, him, and Kendrick. That was like my main, my main clique. But it was like one time where, you know, he was worse. Cause you know he had halitosis, so you know one time, you know Kendrick, he was just like a natural funny guy, right? So one time, you know, he was talking, you know, my friend, and Kendrick, you know, we all three of us friends, but Kendrick like keep talking and whispering, like, you know, like doodoo or something, you know, he. But he not trying to be mean. It is what it is type of situation. He not, being younger like that, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of more aggressive as a man. So, you know, he just kind of, like, went quiet. Me and him both started laughing. But that didn't ruin our relationship, mm-hmm. you know, with us three.
When you talk about Kendrick, like, you laugh. Is it because he's funny?
Yeah, he was a real funny guy, you know. You know, Kendrick's just
y'all used to joke a lot.
Yeah, and it was just us three for some reason. I don't know. Kendrick, he was normal, but he was just hilarious, you know. But for some reason, he decided to hang out with me. He decided to hang out with him, but you know, it just me and because his name was Rashad. You know, me and Rashad, we got into it because of a female that it wasn't like a trying to impress thing, but this female was a bully.
Okay.
Both of these females I'm talking about, they was bullies. So basically, you know, it wasn't a thing that my my friend was trying to impress the female. It was the thing that one of us got picked on by the female, and we both had the same bully, and it caused us to clash.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is y'all were getting bullied by this lady, by this girl, and somebody goes and befriends her. And so now, do you feel betrayed? Because it's like, how can you befriend our bully? Okay.
At the time, I did. Because it's like, instead of, because, you know, the bully, they, you know, their parents taking care of them. Mm-hmm. You know, they popular, this and that. Mm-hmm. And we on the low end.
Right.
So basically, somehow, instead of us clashing against her, we end up clashing against each other.
Right.
And every time, I was the aggressor. And I used to be a liar.
You feel like that maybe there was a trust broken? Like betrayal from your friend?
Yeah, and I betrayed them back. Tight. You know, that's what it... It's not that... It's like my... It's I didn't do it on purpose, but that's kind of just...
That's how it happened.
Yeah, it's kind of like trying to say, you know, trying to save your tail, you know?
Okay, so... Because... What I'm kind of hearing is that you started off living with your mom.
Yeah.
But you knew there was something different about you since you were a young man, right? A young child. So, living with your mom, it sounds like you were making the best of your situation. Your living conditions, your friends.
It was always like a two sides. It's an album, I think Earth, Wind, and Fire or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like where the fire and the and the heaven is like right there.
And so then you come down to Houston with your dad and you see that.
My whole life kind of been like that because originally when I was born, okay, so I'm going to just go back to like when I was born, right?
Well, so listen, because we're running out of time, so I kind of want to make sure I got everything understood. That way when we meet again, when we follow up,
okay,
we can kind of pick up where we left off. And I have an understanding, right?
Okay.
So, once you go with your dad, when you come with your dad, you get a different experience of life, kind of. Which is better than what was in Michigan, right?
Well, this is the thing. Even when I was in Michigan, I had my great-grandma, and her youngest son, my granddad. Okay. They stayed in the same house.
And that's your mom's dad and your mom's grandmother.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was always a normal thing, but see, my nana held the family together. So,
when did things kind of start taking a turn? Because I guess I'm trying to understand, when did the living conditions become horrible?
Okay, so what happened was, you know, my nana was alive.
Well, first, because, you know, you're saying, like, it was hell there.
My nana was my first love, like literally my first love. Like my family have a natural history. You know, it's Flint, Michigan. It's a small area. We have a natural history of down there getting with somebody that has some type of same blood in our system.
Mm-hmm.
So my first love was my great grandma.
Okay.
I'm not in a way having sex with her.
No, yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, she was a female and she did her nails and stuff like that. And me seeing how, like, my nana not judging me and stuff like that.
Okay.
It kind of built an attraction to her.
Okay.
And basically to a point where, you know, I'm already a curious person. You know, when I was a baby, they say I would pick up newspapers and I would just, like, scan it.
Okay.
Or whatever. Newspaper not even open. Look at, like, stuff that I would just do when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why my mom speaks from like an intuition perspective, and my dad speaks from a more hypothetical, like, you know, like logic perspective.
Okay.
But he wasn't there when I was with my family. But see, my family, they knew how different I was automatically, because they've been there since I was.
Right. Okay. So, what are some things that you hope to, I guess, work towards while you're here at CRU? I see that you have the Bible with you. Are you on a spiritual journey?
It's very simple for me. My family, that took me in, you know, it was basically like I had to hop outside my race to really notice what a family was. You know, I had to, I had to do that because simple fact, my dad was the only family I had here.
Right.
And when I was in Michigan, it's nothing, it's damn near 80%, it's just black and white.
Okay.
So, you know, my family, they had me for the most part when I was over there. But when things fell apart is when my great-grandmother passed away. And this is where my family has they natural power because... Basically, what happened was a sequence of events with her passing away.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to wrap up our session right now.
Okay.
But when we meet the next time, what I want to do is I want you to start by telling me the sequence of events that started to happen after your grandmother passed.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. All right.
Alrighty.
I'm going to try.